you bring your swords with you? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. This past week, last Saturday, I was in Nashville, Tennessee, performing a wedding of my niece, and getting her married before somebody backed down on the idea. And then got on an airplane, flew up to O'Hare, and I'd left my pickup there, grabbed that, went up to Wisconsin Dells area to preach a revival. While I was up there, I started the revival. I guess the first four services I preached out of the Hebrew Bible. It hadn't dawned on me that that's what I was doing. It's just the passages that were coming to me is the right ones. And as I was getting to the fourth sermon, I told him, I said, I really do know where the New Testament is. I really do. You may not think this, but I do. And look where I am this morning. By the way, you need to know, Darren didn't make a mistake. He was wondering what I was doing coming up. I just kind of changed the order of things. It just seemed to me that it was time to pray right then. So thanks, buddy, for adjusting. But it just seemed like it was the right time to pray. You ready? I'm not going to have you stand. You've been doing that. I've heard one complaint already about it. You know, that's what happens when you go to church. People just complain, 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 don't they? You know, and if you've been a pastor, and I have, you know that it's impossible when winter comes to get the temperature right. Right? So I'm just used to this. So I hear you, but I really don't pay any attention. Okay, that's it. But I'm not going to make you stand. Are you ready? Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. May the Lord be with you. Listen for the word of God. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and that every inclination of thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. If I had time, I don't. I would talk about those places and those times when we grieve the Lord. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. If I had time, and I don't, I would say, wouldn't it be a great prayer, Lord, may I find favor in your sight. These are the descendants of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. By the way, if I had time, and I don't, I would say it is an amazing man who can have three sons and walk this way. I don't want to testify, even though I have three sons. I'm just saying. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it, the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and put the door of the ark in its side and make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I am going to bring the flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind to the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, of two of every kind shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May I pray with you before we talk about it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your presence. We have sensed your presence in our midst. We have, in our spirits, we have acknowledged your working. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would work even now as we are attending to your word. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight, O Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we took quite a bit of time to pray this morning, but it's okay. I know the preacher. I've talked to him. And as I read my way through this passage, getting ready for the morning that we have together, I couldn't help but get stuck with the command that God had given Noah. It's kind of a surprising thing, actually. We read it now, and really nothing twitches in us. We say, yeah, okay, make an ark. It's going to flood. It's going to rain 40 days, 40 nights. It's going to do these things. It happened, and God did exactly what he said. And on this side of things, we look at it, and we say, you know what? Noah was right. You should trust the Lord because God does what he says he's going to do. Okay. But on the other side, before all of this happened, you have to understand this was a pretty demanding request. To a man who had no experience with any of the things that God was talking about. This kind of flood, this kind of rain, this kind of boat, are you kidding me? All of these were outside of his experience. All of these things were things that was spoken to him that really God had to fill in what these things meant. It was as if God had said to Noah, Noah, I want you to build a habersmacher because I'm going to make it panaz. Think about it. You know, sometimes we really want to try to get in control of our lives. And that really is where Christianity gets corrupted into just another religion. Where we use biblical ideas and we use experiences and we somehow fashion an understanding of what it means to be Christian, what it means to be religious, and we just simply work out in our own minds exactly what we want to do with our lives, and we keep it within certain parameters, and therefore it's Christian. The Hebrew word for that is hogwash. For the only way that you and I can be Christian is by following Christ. And Christ, if you'll watch the disciples, leads in places where they would not have chosen to go. And does things that they did not expect and didn't really fit their pattern. As a matter of fact, for them, Jesus was a master of surprise, Donald Jewell says in his commentary on Mark's gospel. Here is God coming to Noah, a man who has been living a righteous life. Even God acknowledged it. It doesn't really matter what somebody else says about me. The question is, what does God say about me? And here's Noah, who had been living in a world of corruption, in a world that had gone all the wrong directions. Does this sound familiar to you? Do you think this is just an old problem? Isn't it a new problem now too? Isn't it also our world that has turned everyone to their own ways? And Noah, who had been faithful to God, now God comes to him and throws him a knuckleball. He had been swinging in the 300s. He had been doing pretty good. Maybe the 400s. Maybe the 500s. He was really making contact with the ball. But then God comes along and God says, Noah, now here's what's next. Okay. I want you to build a Habersmacher because I'm going to make it Panaz. Have you ever seen the movie Evan Almighty? It's a funny movie. But it says a lot of right things. It says some wrong things. Most of them do. But the idea of building a Habersmacher is the idea of doing that which you've never understood as something you should do. You don't even know how to do it. God had to send them instructions. God had to say, this is what I... Let me send you a diagram. Let me just fax you building instructions. Take this step by step. Here are the dimensions. Here's what I want. I want a door. Here's where I want the door. And not only that, but here's the finish. I'm not wanting polyurethane on this. I want you to put pitch. Not just on the outside where it looks good. On the inside where you got to smell it. Because you're going to need it on both sides. And not only that, but this is not a pleasure cruise. I want you to build it big enough that we're going to be hauling animals in on this one. Stinking, noisy animals. Well, if I had time, I don't. We could just camp out right there. But who wants to camp out in a boat with stinking, noisy animals? I want you to build a Habersmacher. A what? I want you to do this, child. You want me to do what? I want you to work on this. You want me to do what? Lord, I don't know how to do that. I've never done anything like that before. I don't know how to get started with this. I don't know how to get from where I am to where that is. I don't even know where that is. The Lord sometimes, when He works in our lives, works in ways that shock us, in ways that call us out of our comfort zone, points us in directions where we're no longer able to master our environment, but rather have to be dependent upon His direction and on His guidance and on His resourcing. Sometimes when the Lord works in our lives, He nudges us in directions that we simply could not have accomplished or would not have thought of doing apart from His help and His work and His direction in our lives. I want you to build a Habersmacher. The neat thing about this story is that God knows exactly what He means. He's not calling us to do things that He doesn't even have figured out. He's not calling us to do things that He has no earthly idea or any heavenly idea for that matter of how it's going to happen. When God begins to nudge our lives in directions to do things or to accomplish things, it's not into these unknown territories where the whole thing is up for grabs. Even God doesn't know what it looks like. God knows where He's pointing us. He not only knows what He asks us to do, He also knows how we need to do it. He also will give us the dimensions so that we know when we're getting it right and when we're not. He'll help us and guide us and direct us to make sure that we not only get started right, but that we keep on track with His purpose for our lives. No, I want you to build a Habersmacher. Because I'm going to make it Panaz. You going to do what? What's happening, Lord? What's the future for my life? What's going on around me? What's about to happen? It all looks so ominous. It all looks so out of control, Lord. It all looks dark. I don't see even the end of the tunnel, not to mention a light at it. I'm going to make it Penaz. I'm going to work this out. You see, one of the things that we need to know is that when God is calling us to obedience, He is not just sending us off by ourselves. I remember that I was in college, and my old friend, John Johnson, at that time was the dean of students at Mount Vernon. Nazarene College. I'll go ahead and put it all out there. And he sent me to Port Columbus Airport to pick up Norm Shoemaker, who was going to be speaking at the campus. Person I had never met. I had no idea what that boy looked like. Not only that, I didn't know where Port Columbus was. I had never been to that airport. You might say, boy, you're a hick. Okay. I'm at peace with that. So I made my way down trying to find Port Columbus. I remembered coming by it, seeing some signs, and I got there and I found the airport, but I was on the wrong side of the airport, and I'm driving around this thing, all these big fences everywhere. I've never flown an airplane. I don't know what it's like inside an airport. I'm driving around trying to find the airport, looking for a fellow I didn't know who he was or what he looked like. I'm trying to find the way in. I'm making my way around this fence. I had made a couple of turns, and now I was along another fence, and there was a yellow truck in front of me, and he was driving along, and all of a sudden there was an opening, and he pulled in the opening, and I pulled right in with him. You know where this is going, don't you? I found myself driving around trying to find, you know, signs to point me. The only thing I had was signs with numbers and letters on them. And then as I'm driving along, all of a sudden, the big airplanes that you've seen from a distance, I saw real close. And it wasn't very long after that, all of a sudden, all kinds of friends came to see me. They were asking me all kinds of questions. They wanted to know about my life. They wanted to know about what I'd been to, where I was up to, and all that. I was just testifying like crazy to them. They finally suggested that maybe I needed to be more careful about what I was doing. Inside of me, I'm saying to John Johnston, he needs to be more careful about where he tells me to go and what he asked me to do. You see, what happens is he just gave me a job. He just kind of handed it off. The only thing I knew is to get to the airport, and when I got there, I was to look around for a guy wearing plaid pants. Yeah, okay, we're in the 60s, okay? Wearing plaid pants. You know how many people wore plaid pants back then? And flowery pants and all kinds of pants? Don't you laugh at me, you remember. You probably have some. You might still get them out from time to time, I don't know. God says, I want you to build a Habersmacher because I'm going to make it Penaz. God has a plan He's working out, not just a plan for my life, but a larger plan that I become part of. And if you will understand this and stay with me, when God speaks in this way, He's not just trying to order my life, He's trying to put my life in line with what He is trying to do on a larger scale than just my individual life. God cooperates with us and calls us to cooperate with Him, not just so that our life comes out right, but so that His plan is accomplished through our lives. He partners with us. You're going to do this, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell you how to do this. I'm calling you to this place, but I'm not going to just leave you there. You're not going to just be there with a boat in your front yard. It's got a purpose, and it's a purpose you can't accomplish, but I can. I'll bring my work together with your work to accomplish a greater thing. And you will be part of something greater than you could ever be on your own. Noah, I want you to build a Habersmacher. because I'm going to make it panaz. Things that were outside of Noah's experience. Things that he really didn't know what they all meant. But this righteous man, who had been living his life before God all those years, decided not to start a new habit, but just to mind God again. And God saved his family through it. And also his story saves us when we allow that story to seep into our thinking and our mindset. God speaks to us still. The God who spoke to Moses in the burning bush has not developed laryngitis. He still speaks. He still speaks to our lives, sometimes in surprising ways, sometimes calling us in places that are way outside our comfort zone. Sometimes calling us to do things that we don't know how to do. It's stuff that we've never even thought of before. We wouldn't have come up with on our own. He speaks to us about what he's about to do and things that we can't possibly understand. It's way above our pay grade to have that all figured out. But he calls us to partner with him, so that our lives mesh with his plans, not just for our lives, but on a larger scale. Let me put it this way. God calls us to be part of his mission to redeem and save and transform the world. He calls us to seek and to save the lost. He calls us to be part of his forward plan. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God worked out a plan of salvation in the midst of wickedness. It was an open thing. Others could come in, but they didn't. One man paid the price of obedience. One man dared to build the Habersmacher. And God used it to accomplish his mission of reestablishing righteousness in the world. Stand with me, would you? Or as the Brits would say, be upstanding. You've been patient with me, and I appreciate it. Darren, thanks for letting me interrupt. What else are you going to do? I just sat there, wasn't I? He was gracious, but there I was. I'm noisy, so he knew he just might as well just cave. May the Lord help us be obedient to him. Sometimes in places and ways that we don't understand, things that we've never done before, we don't even know how to do them. Sometimes in ways that really just doesn't hit us as being something we could do. What a mammoth task. But yet God calls us and makes promises of his partnership in the work. Beyond the impossible task lies the divine word and divine promise and divine work to help you be obedient. May I pray with you? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your graciousness in our lives. Thank you for the awareness of your presence in our lives. We realize when we read your word that you have a mission in this world. a mission of a world that is good. Help us to be obedient to your invitation to be part of your mission. To dare to obey the God who would even ask us to build a Habersmacher. Because it's going to pass. Others may not see it. Others may not understand it. It may be next to impossible to explain it. But Lord, we are seeking to be obedient to you. You have given us the grace. Help us to provide the person by your grace. To mind you, in Jesus, yes, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.